They say there's three things hard to do. It's to kiss your wife leaning away from you, climbing a wall leaning towards you, and then speaking after somebody's way better than you are speaking. So I'll just trust that we'll get through this thing here. But anyway, I am Brother Donnie Holt, and we are Grace for Today Bible Fellowship in Tobaccoville, North Carolina. We started up about 6 years ago. Came into Grace and Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth about 8 years ago, started studying it. We're in an independent Baptist church and decided that we would start our own deal, not really knowing what we were doing. But we started out studying together. And I think the unique thing about our group, there's about 25 of us, is that we all started new together. So it made it kind of a smooth type thing. I've got a friend that is trying to convert a church, and he's having trouble because, you know, denominational people don't always agree with what the Bible teaches or what it actually says, right? But coming to a Grace church like you guys, and you're established and you've been around this for a long time, a topic that would just help all of us to do, maybe like I hope you do, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Got a marker there, brother?
All right. I can't do it without a marker anymore.
But in talking about the Holy Spirit, coming out of a denominational church and a background, most people relate the Spirit to what book do you think? They go back to the book of Acts in chapter 2, right? Yeah. And so what people get taught, and what I was taught, you know, we go back, we read Matthew 3 and the promise of the Spirit and all that. Then you come forth to Acts chapter 2 and you actually see the outpouring of the Spirit. And everybody goes there to relate to the Holy Spirit. And so when they go there, what happens is they get taught bad doctrine that the Holy Spirit's kind of like a force. And what we're going to do, we're going to get in here, we're going to clap our hands, we're going to sing, and we're going to do all this stuff until he appears, until he shows up, right? And then, then he comes in and he blesses us, and then we had a great service. And so there's just such a poor understanding of the Holy Spirit when the Bible is not rightly divided and people don't see the administration of the Holy Spirit today. And so they don't really know where things begin and where they end. They're in confusion. And I was there. And I think one thing would come into right division that we have to be careful with. When we see it and we begin to get brighter light on it, we kind of confound it because other people don't. But what does the Bible teach us about that? That the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, right? Because they're spiritually discerned. So it's the Holy Spirit that aids in our being able to see the Scripture. I was having a conversation with a brother not long ago, and we were having a conversation about why people don't see the mystery. I said, because the mystery is hid in Christ. And he said, but it's been revealed. I said, but the Word of God is where it's revealed. You're not going to see it through the natural eye, through the natural mind. It's the Spirit of God that's going to bear witness with your spirit. This is the Word of God. And that's why people a lot of times don't see the mystery. But anyway, we want to deal with the Spirit. There's 12 points in the book of Ephesians. Every chapter of the book of Ephesians, you'll find something about the Spirit of God there. So when I say 12, don't anybody bow your head and start praying that I'm going to sit down quickly. But I'm not going to take an hour to do it, right? So there's 12 points, and so we're just going to look at those, and we'll look at them briefly as to get through each one. I'm probably going to start that a little higher. I am short, not that short, right? So we'll do this. And I do appreciate the ones of you that were able to come out to our Bible conference that we did back in May. We did a Bible conference, not having a clue what we were doing, but Brother Robbie came out and he spoke for us twice, right? And all in all, most of the feedback that we got, most people say that they enjoyed the time that they had, and kind of wish I'd have called Brother Steve and those guys up and Brother Brian to see how to run one successfully. I think I made a couple mistakes in the process, but it still turned out good, so we give God all the glory there. All right, in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at the Spirit here, and we're going to look at him throughout all six chapters. We're going to find him. And we're just going to talk a little bit in detail, and then we're going to recap at the end of it. So starting in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, these verses 9 and 10 would be a good one to ask how many paid pastors out in denominational world really even know what the mystery of his will is, right? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So there's your two spheres, and there's your two groups, right? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit of promise, he has done something with us, right? In that verse, he has sealed us. All right, so now look down at the next verse. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So he's the earnest, right? He's the earnest. That means the first payment in assurance and promise of the full payment, right? So that's what he has given us there. And that initial payment, the Holy Spirit was given unto us. Look in chapter 2 and look down at verse 17. He came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So there's our access. Now, you know, this type of teaching or someone showing you the verses here connecting the Holy Spirit to the church, the body of Christ today, it's not something that's going to get the flesh worked up, right? I came out of institutions like that, you know, the Holy Spirit getting your flesh all worked up and you leave, you sweat, and you said that was the Holy Ghost that met with us tonight. That's one thing about grace. You feel like when you get in grace and you get around right divide the word of truth, you feel like you get stripped away of things, right? You go along, you think, man, I lost that. But truly, we've lost nothing because the Bible tells us we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What it is, we were actually robbed from the things that God really has done for us, and we were carried back to an immature, elementary law program, and we were functioning as such under that versus coming to the grace of God, understanding his fullness through the word of God, and what he's truly done for us through, by, and in Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the shed of his blood on the cross, we have all. That's why he could say that we're complete in Christ, right? So most people who are out there in institutions who don't preach the Bible rightly divided, what they're doing, they're blinding the minds of people and the hearts of people who could come to this truth and be able to see what the Spirit truly is doing today and what he has done. And by that, what do you think we could get done toward lost souls out there? Because when we talk to people about being saved, even when we share the basic gospel, people just don't agree with us a lot of times. No, you have to have water, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. You have to turn from all your sin, and who's done that, right? I mean, you know, I've been saved quite some time, but I don't think I've turned from all my sin, right? That old flesh still creeps up from time to time, does he not? And so when we start thinking this way, we understand that as we grow in grace, as we learn more of pure doctrine and the right doctrine given to the church, the body of Christ, we see that we really haven't lost anything, right? And you get that inner man built up with the right doctrine, and then you can begin to praise God for the things that you see that truly belong to you. And most people spend their time in church doing what? Reaching back to rob something from Israel's program, right, to bring it into their life today. And see, most people are preaching and praying for the Holy Spirit to do something magical today. You know, do something magical today. And they just get in the Word of God and realize what he's already accomplished for us, what he's already done, and what we have. through that administration that we have today of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing, but so many people are blind to it. Look down in 2:21 and 22. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built up together for an habitation of God. Through what? The Spirit. So there is an habitation. What does that mean? It's a place for him to dwell, right? Now, I don't see us missing much right now. I see us, we're pretty rich in this thing, aren't we? Amen. Isn't it a blessing? And I'll be the first one to tell you guys, when I came to it early on, I was one of those people who felt like I was losing things. I was one of those people who felt like I was giving up stuff. You know, I was like, man, we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. You know, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to study the Bible, right? And we're going to get rich in grace, and we're going to get this inner man built up the right way, and we're going to cast off this old man and get rid of this flesh and quit calling it God when it's not, right? And so I look back over that, the 6 years that we've taught this, the 8 years that we've studied it, and there's a lot of growth that takes place in a person that sticks with the Word of God. Right? All right, look over in chapter 3 real quick. And we'll start there in verse 1. I know you grace people have never seen this chapter and verse. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, how? By the Spirit. So right there is revelation. He's revealing things to those men there in the early part of the church. It's now in written format, right? We have the written Word of God. And we can go here, and when we study the Bible according to God's principle, by rightly dividing the word of truth and adhering to the divisions that he's made, that's when we get the richness of the word of God. That's when it will build us up. It will work effectually in us that believe it. Amen? And so when we understand that the fact that we can't just open the Bible and go wherever we want and start claiming promises, and you know, people, I saw a unique ministry name today, and I saw it on Facebook. It was For Us and To Us Ministries. I like that, you know, because all the Bible's for us. We all know that, but only a portion of it's written directly to us, right? And so people get upset when you tell them that because you just took away the things they've been laying claim to in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here, he's the one who has done the revealing and now it's in written word. And these men received it by revelation. Paul received the mystery by revelation. Paul received his gospel by revelation. And that hurts people as well because they claim he preached the exact same one that was taught before him. But we've all seen different than that. All right, look over in chapter 4. Start at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So there's our unity. It doesn't sound to me like the Holy Spirit has retired, right? Sounds to me like he's very effective in this book of Ephesians. And it sounds to me like we all just dig in here and see what all he's done for us, right? Amen, and what he is doing for us. Look on over in chapter 4 and look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So grieve not. And the reason you can grieve him is why? Because you're sealed by how long? To the day of redemption. He don't just come and go. He don't leave you. If you grieved him, he can leave you. He'd just leave you, wouldn't he? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. That's the reason you can grieve him, because he's there. He's not going anywhere, right? So there we have our unity. We've got the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 5. I'm hoping I haven't missed one. I think I did. We'll go back and get him. chapter 5, look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So there's our fruit. When I was growing up, I was bringing forth fruit. It was mine. And I realized the fruit is of the Spirit. It's not of my nasty flesh, right? So it's the fruit that bears, the Spirit that bears the fruit. Look over in 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's our fullness. While you've got that one, you probably don't need me to explain that one, but I will because of the great preaching that you get here. But look over at Colossians. He tells you there in 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. And watch what he does in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching you, admonishing you in one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That would stand to me to be full of the Holy Spirit would be what? Full of the word of God. Amen. Right? Now we look at that as God's going to open up the top of our head and he's going to pour in some juice. He's going to do all that business. No, it's what manner of word do you have in you? How much of the word of God do you have in you, right? And that's going to be the building up of that inner man. That's how much of the word of God you have in you. That's being filled with the Spirit because the word of God is Spirit, right? This is not a book written by Paul and his own intellect, Peter and his own intellect. This is the word of God. And then so as we go along and we start doing what we're doing, the people say, well, you're esteeming Paul. You're trying to say that Paul said this, but Jesus said that. No, Paul is saying what Jesus said. This is the word of God. It's the words of Christ. It's not the words of Paul. And people get so confused when you reveal to them that Paul is their apostle. They can't let go of all those men that they've selected in the Bible for themselves to be their apostles. But God sent the body what? That special, unique apostle, the Apostle Paul. And people struggle with that. Well, Paul said what in 1 Corinthians 14:37? If any man think himself to be spiritual or a prophet, let him consider that the things, let him acknowledge that the things I write to you are what? They're the words of the Lord, right? So they were Paul's words. Paul is writing by inspiration of God. It's God's word. Paul is speaking the wholesome words of Christ. And people can't accept that. Because it goes what? It goes against what their tradition says, what their pastor says, what they grew up in. I fought with a lot of that. All right? And most of us, I think, if we're honest, we struggle with some of it, right? It's a matter of growing, of continual growing. All right? So then look in chapter 6. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It's the word of God. So there you have the sword. And that is the word of God. And let me say, that doesn't come out of just any book that's got Bible written on it.
Amen.
Amen. The King James Bible, folks. And I hope we all have that in common. Right? The King James Bible and the gospel is how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, right? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We've been seated with him. Amen? All right, so look at the last one here, 6 and 18, and we'll double down and go back and get the one I missed. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. And you know, many people take that verse there, 18, when he says praying in the Spirit, and they immediately take that to some prayer language or what have you. It's praying according to the Spirit. It's praying according to the Word of God, right? And anybody's prayer life ever changed once you come to grace? You know, you quit getting on your knees and asking for everything in the world, and you realize that God's not just a big candy dispenser, right? And you started to thank him for the things that he has done. I thank you for dying for my sin. I thank you for all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I thank you for seeking me together with Christ in heavenly places. I thank you for the promise of my eternal hope, I thank you for all that you've done for me through the Spirit and by the Spirit, all that you did on the cross. Your prayer life changes when you grow in grace, does it not? It doesn't become a want. It becomes a thank you. And that's what Paul said. We ought to pray with all thanksgiving, did he not? All right. So look there. He is, that's our prayer life. It might not be bad if we miss this one because, listen, all these things right here do what this one I missed. Go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. That we should grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So there is our strength. Now, there's people out there who will give you a plug and nickel for what we put on this board. But I've learned something about denominational names and tags. They're kind of like an extra curl on a pig's tail. They might make him look cuter from behind, but they don't add any bacon or ham to him, right? All that stuff is just eye appeal, right? And that's just stuff, it's attractive to the flesh, but it does nothing for putting meat in the Word of God. But think about this. If the church, in large, I'm talking about Christendom now, realized that they're sealed with the Spirit, he is the earnest, he's our access, we're his habitation, he's revealed the mystery to us, he's our unity, grieve not, he's the fruit, he's the fullness, that's the sword, that's our prayer life. There's where the strength comes from. I wonder just how much we could grow and build in the Lord the right way versus the wrong way, right? If the Bible says rightly divide the word of truth, it would stand to say that you can wrongly divide the word of truth, right? So look over in 1 Corinthians real quick, and I won't keep you that much longer. First Corinthians, and look at the importance of this whole thing. I had a young man come to me one time and found out that I'd gotten out of the church life that I once was a part of. And he said, "So you don't believe in the Holy Ghost anymore?" You know, and what he meant by that was jumping up and down and, you know, yabba dabba doo, look what I can do, all that business. And I said, "I very much believe in the Holy Ghost, and I very much believe in the ministry of the Holy Ghost." I said, "But I have seen light on things that tells me that I was wrong to my belief in past." But look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read some familiar verses here. But we speak the wisdom of God, verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him." Now, where I went to church, they just stopped right there. They didn't read the next verses. But God hath, you know, he has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I don't believe when he says natural man, he's just talking about lost people there. I believe he's talking about people who are saved, who are trying to obtain knowledge of the word of truth out of their natural intellect. Right? And I heard a question posed to John MacArthur last night. I don't know when the video was. A guy stood up in that assembly and he asked about us dispensationalists. And he got about a 20-minute answer. And when he got done, I thought, man, he just walked all around the Word of God, the truth about dispensational Bible teachers. He said, the only thing I agree with them on is the rapture. It's pre-trib. So where did you get that at, brother? That's Pauline, right? That's the mystery revealed to Paul. But all the other stuff he said, I can't agree with them because they say the Sermon on the Mount wasn't to you. Well, in chapter 10, if they were forbidden to go to the Gentiles, I would say in chapter 5 and 6, they probably weren't talking to Gentiles, right? If Christ said in 15, I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, it would stand to say that in 5 and 6, he wasn't talking to them, right? In John 4:22, he said, if salvation is of the Jews, I can pretty comfortably say that he wasn't including Gentiles at that point. Now, we know by and large, right? We know Gentiles had an entrance back there, but it was to come up and bless Israel, right? So the Spirit of God, and man gets really, really smart, right? And what I find out about man getting smarter and smarter and smarter, he really loses what we call common sense and common logic a lot of times. And I think even reading the Bible, sometimes you have to take a breath and you have to put in a little bit of logic to say, you know, what I just read there tells me that Christ was ministering, as Paul said in Romans 15 and 8, for I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to what? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers, the Jewish fathers, right? I can believe that, and I can connect that with what Christ said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that he was there for Israel. But the Spirit of God, a man has to read the Bible and according to the Spirit of God and believe in what's written on the page the way it is written. And that's what I struggled with, but that's also what brought me to write the vision. As I was reading in Matthew one day, and I'd had a preacher to tell me one time, well, you got to be careful in that book, he said, because not all that in there is to you. And come to find out, ain't none of it to me, right? And so I was reading one day, and I was going through there, and I was like, who in the world would ever be able to understand one verse is for you, one verse is not for you? I said, there's something bad wrong, right? Thank God for Les Feldick. Thank God for these men here, Brother Steve and Brother Brian and Richard Jordan, those type of teachers, because once I learned that this thing was upside down, I started listening to some of those men and clarity became, it came to the word of truth, right? I began to say, hey, I've been collecting all these dots here, and then all of a sudden, the dots started to go together, whereas before I just had a bunch of dots, and then it started to connect, so I could see that we had something wrong. Now, let me say this to you. What opened my eyes to it was the Spirit of God in the spiritual book. I wanted it, okay? I've got a friend who has a friend. They're struggling with it, all right? So what happens, she hears a message. It's shown to them on paper, out of this book, black words, black ink on white paper. She goes, and somebody over here fills the ear with what she's been in all her life. What happens? It's easy to go back over to what you've been doing all your life, right? We're creatures of habit. But if a person truly wants this, they truly are saved, and they'll believe the words on the pages, it'll come to them, right? And it don't come as a Gatorade bath, as Brother Sam Gerhardt once said in a conversation I was having with him through Messenger. It's not a Gatorade bath. You got to start off with little bitty cupfuls, right? People are not going to get it all at one time. But if a person truly wants it by the Spirit, and they'll begin to see these things, right, it takes a lot of confusion off the table. The Spirit of God's at work. His administration is different than what it was in Acts, early Acts. And I have people all the time to say, I've got the same Holy Ghost they had in Acts 2. Well, I don't disagree. You got the same, but you don't have the same administration, right? Because many of those people who make that claim, they don't believe in the spiritual gifts. What did they have in Acts 2? Spiritual gifts, right? Throughout the whole book of Acts, there are spiritual gifts that are evident there, right? And so they'll make a claim like that, and then you take them over to a book like Mark 16, 15, 16, you show them those verses, oh, that's not what it means. Why did he write it, right? And so what happens, the misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit today and the dispensation of the grace of God, it leads to great confusion. And then what you get is people building doctrines, people praying out of line, people giving out of line, people doing things out of line because they want the Holy Spirit to tell them what color shoes to wear today, right? I got up and the Lord said, put on those shoes. Well, it wasn't the Lord. It was probably your wife. And you had that thing going on in your head because she had told you many times not to wear the other one, something like that. I know most of the time the little voice in my head is my wife, right? I can tell you that. So the go on about things like that, what the Lord's what he told them to eat and so on and so on. And I'll say this in closing. This might be a little bit humorous, but it's also sad. And in closing, I had a guy to tell me about 2 years ago, maybe a little longer. He had a long conversation with me. We're talking about the Lord, talking about the Bible and all this. And he went to talk about a bee that landed on his mirror. And he said, you know, the Lord knew 20,000 years ago that bee was going to be on that mirror. And I just looked at him and I said, really? And that's how people think, right? God has ordained everything in your life. If you don't hit that plan just right, you're going to miss out on what he ordained for you, right? Can I tell you that God, in eternity past, did not create and make a bunch of robots that he programmed in and said, now, if you'll just get the right code, you'll be on the right track. He built us with a free will, right? And he built us, and especially in the dispensation that we have, to make choices and decisions. And we should make those decisions according to the spirit of the Word of God, right? What we've learned, what we do, the application, the knowledge, the wisdom, everything that we get and glean from the Word of God, that's how we should function. Do we do that all the time? And the answer would be absolutely not, right? But that is how we are to function. And when a person comes to that knowledge that the Spirit of God is not cold ice going down your back, you know, God bumps, they used to call it. He is a person. He has inspired this book. And he's administering today the grace of God through the Word of God for us to take it in and for him to work effectually in us with that Word to stir it up in us, right? Because there's times when you need it. When you go to talk to someone and you start regurgitating verse after verse after verse after verse, my friend, that's the Spirit of God in you. That Word in you, you're helping someone else with what God has given you, what you have studied, right? So something simple that I want to do, but just think about what we do have here, folks. The Spirit of God's not dead. He didn't die when Acts 2 passed. You know, he's still in the game. And I'm thankful that I've learned what I've learned about how God is operating today. Let us pray and we'll dismiss here. Father, we're so grateful for this time, and I pray that just the simple words that we've given tonight about the Spirit of God maybe help someone tonight, Lord, just to see who they are, what they are, what you've done for them, and how you are working through your Word today, that you're very much alive, your Spirit's very much alive, your Son is very much alive, the Godhead is very much alive, and we have all that we need. Suffice in your grace, suffice in your Word, we're complete in your Son. We give him all the praise, all the thanks, all the honor, and all the glory. And for someone here tonight, Lord, who have never trusted what Christ did when he died for their sin on the cross, was buried, and raised again the third day, I pray that tonight would be that night. And Lord, if someone were to watch or hear audio or video about your Son, how he died for them, shed his blood, buried and raised again, I pray that they would believe that gospel and trust his work by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. And two, Lord, they would be saved. In the name which is above every name, we give you all the praise, all the thanks, all the honor, and all the glory. Everyone said, amen.